Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That is Mina Kimes, who's twitching in ways that we'll probably learn about later. And that's Dominique Foxworth, who seems to be wearing one of those magic eye books as a shirt.
I think
it's
Mina's
just
dying.
Too bright for me to look at the camera directly.
How good can the Saints be with Jameis as the starter?
So I'll leave the actual football nuts and bolts of this to Dominique and Mina. I just want to point this out. I hope we're all ready to call Sean Payton a genius, like in ways that we never have before, because everybody has been trying to do the thing that we think Jameis Winston is going to do under Sean Payton's direction, which is get under control and seemingly become a different person. He showed up to training camp with a whole like new job interview voice, and then he goes and throws like 50 yards through the air, which no one has done in New Orleans in 5 years. The bar in New Orleans for arm strength is extraordinarily low, but the bar for personal change is incredibly high. So if you're Sean Payton, I think this is how this plays out. You get a lot of credit for Jameis being better than anybody thought, and if he doesn't work out, I still think Sean Payton then pivots to the guy that was supposed to make him a genius in the first place, Taysom Hill, even though that guy is only theoretically a quarterback.
I consider myself to be like pretty rational when it comes to the preseason. I try to keep everything in context and not overreact. But after Jags-Saints week two, when you had, you know, Jameis Winston throwing 50-yard bombs to Marquez Callaway, Marcus Davenport basically dog walking the Jags backup offensive line, backups, and Marcus Williams flying around, I was on my couch like, who dat? Who dat? The Saints are back, which is ridiculous because this is the same team they were a few weeks ago. It's a good team. They have really talented players. The guys I just mentioned are all good, but it's a team that really lacks depth, especially compared to Tampa Bay, where like their wide receiver group is 20 players deep. I'm not exaggerating. I really think they have like 20 wide receivers on that roster who could start in the NFL. So no, the Saints are not going to win the division, but if Jameis plays like he did in preseason week two against the Jaguars, they could make some noise.
Okay. First of all, your who dat was utterly unacceptable. Second of all, yeah, I mean, Jameis, I think that there was an argument that I was making part of last season that Jameis should have been the quarterback last year. Because the turnovers are a problem, but they have an awesome defense and a ton of talent. But the fear factor was not there for Drew Brees. Defenses going up against them had a much easier time because they were not concerned about the big play. The threat of the big play is worth a turnover every now and then.
Yeah.
If you hit one every now and then, even if you don't hit them, the fact that the cornerbacks and the safeties and the D coordinators are a little nervous to blitz because they don't want to leave you in one-on-one coverage, a little nervous to sit down on third and fives because they don't want to get caught on the double move. Like, that changes the equation for the defense. So if he can control the turnovers, yes, that'd be great. But even if he can't control their turnovers, I'm not sure that this offense wouldn't be better with him out there throwing a few picks every now and then, but also throwing a couple 50-yarders from time to time.
I just want to point out that feels like something a defensive back would say if given a national television platform in which maybe, you know what, maybe some interceptions are good to throw. Has anybody thought of that for offenses?
No way. After last week, we watched Shaquille Griffin, I believe it was, who got toasted by Marquez Callaway. They don't want to play Jameis Winston. They want to play Taysom Hill. And Dominique is absolutely right. When you have that threat of the deep ball, of the explosive pass play, it does increase your margin for error when it comes to turnovers. Everybody is going to freak out when Jameis Winston throws his first interception this year. It's going to happen, guys. Like, he's going to throw an interception. But even if he throws a few, even if he throws more than obviously Drew Brees, which seems inevitable, it's still the right decision for this offense because of the variance he brings you in the upside.
I think the Swiss Army knife comparison for Taysom Hill is perfect because he can do a lot of things. Good-ish. Like, if you want to cut a steak, you don't want a Swiss Army knife.
No, if you don't want to be out of bounds,
you need a corkscrew. You want a corkscrew. Only reason why you don't use a Swiss Army knife to do Swiss Army things is because you don't got other stuff.
What are the things other than the knife and the corkscrew? There's like a nail file.
Yeah, there's scissors on it. There's scissors sometimes.
Yeah, they're little scissors. There's the teeny tweezers that you pull out of like the very end. It's like hidden away and you pull those out.
So that's like the quarterback sneak for Taysom.
That's right.
It's the little
teeny little tweezers.
How worried should Pablo be that his beloved Fitzmagic won't be the starter in Washington?
I hate that boy
All right, I'm going to talk about this story like an objective journalist, because I interviewed Ryan Fitzpatrick on ESPN Daily, and he said the following. He said that this is the best situation I've ever come in.
Objective journalist? I listened to that interview, and you are giggling like a schoolgirl at an NSYNC concert. Yes, I'm old. I reference NSYNC, but that's what you were doing. You were not biased.
You
got
to update
like,
that.
Hey, Mr. Fitzpatrick,
how dare you peg me for an NSYNC guy instead of a Backstreet Boys fan, which is what I actually am. Oh. I will say this about giggles. Giggles are merely indicators that I'm enjoying what you're doing, Dominique. I'm sorry if I haven't giggled enough for your accounting, but I giggle when I enjoy what's going on. And what I enjoyed from Ryan Fitzpatrick is honesty. I enjoyed the fact that he said, look, I've been a starter three times, theoretically, heading into a season. The Jets, the Texans, and now this team. And this team is the first one of those teams to be plausibly a playoff team. And so when a guy who, I'm going to say this so everybody gets it, feel free to giggle or not, when a guy who was number five in total QBR last year, ahead of Thomas Patrick Brady, I think that guy should probably be the starter headed into a season when you paid him, I don't know, eight figures to do so. So am I worried? No, because I believe that Ron Rivera is a rational human being. Journalism.
Yes, the interview where you were giggling like a piglet the whole time was journalism. That was great. But giggling. I do have to agree with you. He's obviously going to be the starter. Pig. It seems like Ron Rivera is like an old school physical newspaper, and that the internet already has all the news, but he is waiting till the next morning to pick it up and find out if it's true or not. Like, he just wants to be the guy to tell his team if this is some sort of like motivational tactic or some sort of team building tactic where he creates a moment where he walks into the team meeting room. He's like, this is your guy. So, yes, we know who it is, and he's going to announce it at some point, and it's going to be Fitzpatrick. I'm not sure that's the right choice. Maybe this is just me wanting to annoy you, Pablo, but, I mean, look at what happened last year. Who did anything more impressive last year than Taylor Heineke's very strong performance against the inevitable Super Bowl champion Buccaneers? You're going to talk about that lucky pass where he got his face smashed, yanked, and he just threw up a jump ball, a Jesus please.
As opposed to one lucky game? Taylor Heineke before that game, his resume was what? How would you describe Taylor Heineke's resume before that one game where he did better than anybody thought?
Okay, so we're describing entire resumes now. I'd be happy to have that conversation. You want to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick's entire resume? He's been on more teams than he hasn't been on at this point, right?
And I just have a question.
All the coaches that he played
Quick question. Is this 2:30 p.m.? Is this first take? Did I accidentally walk into the wrong show? I don't want to be awkward if I'm on the wrong show right now. Man. I thought
things
this was highly
of
questionable.
That nature.
I thought we were asked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would love to endorse Dominique's troll take and argue that Heineke should be the starter. And he did play very well, and he's probably one of the better backups in the league. But in his limited preseason snaps, Fitz has looked competent. He looked like the guy we saw in Miami, which is he's been throwing with zip. And most importantly, he's been getting the ball out quickly. And I think that's important in Washington because the weakness of this offense is the offensive line. However,
yes,
we've seen this Harvard-educated train go off the rails before many, many times. Heineke's probably going to play at some point this season, guys. Like, it's probably going to happen. So, yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick should be the starter, but I am not betting that he's going to start all 17 games and play, you know, like he did last year.
I'm going to bet that. You know how old Taylor Heineke is? He's 28.
Yeah.
He's 28 years old.
Do
Why are
you
we pretending?
Know
like
how old wrong, Ryan Fitzpatrick is? Thing.
So you want to argue, let's talk about that.
Literally the
history.
Worst possible argument.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is obviously very old. The idea that Taylor Heineke is this fresh-faced rookie that no one's seen before. You know who's seen him before? Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera had him, and he didn't use him. And I have to think there are reasons why, beyond the fact that Cam Newton happened to be somewhat better as his body was breaking down completely.
So you're arguing against arguments that no one has made. Not once did anyone say he was a fresh-faced rookie. Not on these airs. And also, Ron Rivera brought him from Carolina with him to Washington. So maybe Ron Rivera believes that he is a player worth having. So we all know that Fitz is going to be the starter, and I expect him to be the starter, and he should be the starter. But all I'm saying is, as a good internet troll, you are not unbiased in I wouldn't be mad. Like, the drop-off is not that big from Heineke. I mean, from Fitz to Heineke.
I just want to point this out. I am allegedly unbiased, but at the end of this, the bottom line is that I am correct.
Up next on HQ.
I think the dude just loves football in a way that I can't even comprehend. And you guys, I'm like pumped. I was disappointed there was no preseason football last night. Time to play the game that thinks Dominique is wearing the shirt he would have worn if he had ever made the Pro Bowl. Do you question?
We take topics at events, we ask if you question them, and we also ask if Dominique were to also make the Hall of Fame wearing the Pro Bowl shirt, whether we would all just ask him for a room upgrade.
Do you question who had the more impressive inning, Chris Sale or La Tortuga?
Okay, so Chris Sale is kind of the last best hope for the Boston Red Sox. He is their best pitcher. He's been hurt for a long time, but he was back and better than ever last night. Oh, yeah. Just throwing gas. Lefty. Ooh, taking ball on the inside corner. Just as you may be able to tell at this point, no one's doing anything against Chris Sale. This is an immaculate inning, as they call it in Major League Baseball. 9 pitches, 3 outs, and just mowing people down, and would end up being a Boston Red Sox blowout. But then on the other end of the ledger, both physically and every other sense, really, is Willian's La Tortuga Astudillo. So this is, as you might be able to tell, already a 12-2 ball game, which is why the Twins have sent in an infielder who looks like he should be a pitcher, honestly, to the mound. He weighs 227, is 5'9". Oh, and this is how you get outs by throwing 30 miles an hour.
But he also threw a pitch that went in the 80s. I mean, the range is unparalleled.
There is no world in which that is not more impressive, though.
What? Please don't. Like, don't Williams do.
Astudillo
don't
getting
do.
Three outs, yeah. Just one
it
walk.
Is, yeah. Yeah.
Don't
we know
do
what Chris
goofy,
Sale can do.
The goofy, like, hipster, I like to be odd, like,
no,
choice.
No, Dominique, not strategically.
The man strategically walked out there, threw 9 pitches, and walked back. That is obviously much more impressive than those lollipops. Like, those are pitches that actually I can throw. That wasn't
it is amazing in baseball how if you look a certain way, you will become beloved no matter what, which I'm really trying to talk around the dynamic of what we're
yeah, the Bartolo
addressing here.
Dynamic.
Is that what we're calling it?
Which, by the way, nickname for La Tortuga, Bartolo semicolon.
Oh,
just thought of that.
Do you question whether Philip Rivers likes coaching football better than he likes playing football?
So Philip Rivers is coaching high school football. They won a game yesterday, 49-0. So let's hear the head coach.
It's awesome. I tell you what, Thursday and Friday nights, after playing 250-something NFL games and 50-something college games, those 3 years playing at Athens High School, you know, being around it at Decatur High growing up, were my favorite, some of my favorite memories. They really are. They're up there in the top 10. I could sit here and think of a handful. It's awesome. And I'm trying to remind these kids of that so they embrace it, because most of these kids are going to play not beyond high school football. We got a handful that'll play at the next level,
wow,
that want to, and I want them to want to. But I also want them to appreciate experiences like this. Shoot, they're all over there with their families and classmates, and you want a football game. I tell them, be excited. Be excited, shoot. And so it's awesome. And I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
What do you think the average number of exclamation points in a Philip Rivers text message is? I feel like it's 10.
Philip has this weird thing where he says the happiest things, but I don't know if it's the tone of his voice or the raspiness of his voice, but it always feels so angry. Like, how could someone not curse ever and just be so excited about everything, but still come off as like mad?
To the question, it was about whether or not Philip Rivers enjoys coaching or playing. I think he loves both. I think the dude just loves football in a way that I can't even comprehend. And you guys, I'm like pumped. I was disappointed there was no preseason football last night. However, we've been hearing rumors about Philip wanting potentially to come back, you know, or being open to coming back. And I do think he probably feels that way. Like, he is probably on the sideline coaching those high school players, watching the quarterback, getting frustrated that he's not in there under center. That will change in week 2 when he watches Aaron Donald chomp Carson Wentz like a burrito. Philip Rivers is going to have that moment where he feels really happy that he is not out there. And I'm looking forward to that for him.
Why can't Philip Rivers do both? If Aaron Rodgers was talking about being the full-time Jeopardy host and an NFL player, why can't Philip Rivers spend Thursdays and maybe Fridays by some sort of like Zoom robot? Can he do both? Dude, they don't play on
Josh
the same
McCown
day.
Did that. Josh McCown coached his kid's high school team, but he was the backup, so it's a little different.
Time to play the game that is excited to watch my favorite commentator do the Rams game this week. Aqib Talib.
Oh, he's so good. He's so awesome. Good. T.O. know all of that. I forgot. I forgot that Aqib Talib is going to be on a broadcast. Finally.
Awesome. Today at 3 p.m. Eastern, the BMW Championship.
So the BMW Championship is a golf tournament, which we are talking about because Phil Mickelson is taping himself saying things.
Who is ready to ball?
Oh, God. The angle.
Oh, this guy. Look. This guy's ready to ball. I'm in last place, nothing to lose. Go for broke. Put it all out there, lay it all on the line. I'm ready to ball.
Is he holding the camera? I can't tell.
Today, Harry Higgs. What a stallion. Got the shirt unbuttoned in honor of Stallion Higgs. Got Andrew Real Deal driving.
That's like...
I want to drive it like Andrew Real Deal. And if I do, going low.
It feels like Phil Mickelson is hitting on me. I don't know if anyone else got that vibe. I was pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's like character or if this is just who Phil Mickelson is. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued by golf. I'm even less intrigued by creepy Phil Mickelson's pickup lines where he's trying to sound young by using slang that's like two decades old and sloppily using it. He's like, who's ready to ball? Like, it's clear that you've never used that terminology in that way, and it's so uncomfortable.
I, for one, thought that video was very fat with a PH. Mina, are you intrigued?
Not intrigued. I'll be watching preseason football. I am relieved watching that. My mother's on social media, but my father is not, and I am grateful for that every day. And watching that video, that feeling was reinforced.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, Bears and Titans.
So to fully show you guys what's at stake here, we have a three-act play starring Justin Fields. Here is act one.
It was actually kind of slow to me, to be honest. I think, I was expecting it to be a little bit faster, but, practicing, game speed, going at it with my teammates every day. And, of course, we have a great defense. So me going against them every day, it definitely slowed the game up a little bit for me.
So that was the first preseason game, the first NFL field he'd ever really stepped on and played any sort of game, saying that stuff. And then there was act.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, it's as close to a decapitation as you generally get in televised sports.
Slow-mo.
And so here came our denouement with Justin Fields.
That came out totally wrong. Y'all just not y'all, but apparently the narrative was that I'm just that good that the game was too slow. But what I meant to say was I go up against our first team defense a lot throughout the week. So me going against them and playing these preseason games, when starters aren't in, that's going to slow the game down for me. So, again, I just wanted to clear that up because I don't want to come off as cocky or acting like I already made it, because I know I have a lot of work to do and get better at.
Yeah, anytime you have to say the phrase, what I meant to say was, you've already taken an L, that's probably too big to hold. I am going to say no, I am not intrigued by this, though, because I feel for him, man. We've already beaten all of the interesting out of a quarterback, and he hasn't even played an actual regular season game yet. He's going to be so boring for the rest of his life, thanks to everybody who does this job. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued in the game. And he didn't have to clarify. That's exactly what he said the first time. Y'all simpletons just turn it into something more.
Who is y'all?
I mean, not you guys. You guys aren't simpletons. I wouldn't do a show with simpletons. The other simpletons turned it into something more. But I do appreciate the three-act play of it, because it does feel like a kid before Scared Straight. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not scared. This is all good. Then he goes and plays the Bills, and the guy's like, grab my pocket. Then he comes out, and he's like, oh, man, I can't wait to go to school and do my homework.
Mina Kimes, have you ever had an experience that Dominique is clearly sharing from personal experience?
No, I am not yet scared straight. I do hear what you're saying about him potentially being more boring or safe for milquetoast off the field, but on the field, he is still electric. And that is why I am intrigued by this game, because Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, has come out and said Andy Dalton is the starter. But we're going to see Justin Fields in this game. And if he balls out and does exciting things, it's going to be awkward as hell in Chicago going into week one against the Rams. So I am intrigued by that possibility, which is very real.
All right. It is Friday afternoon. We all made it. Congratulations. That is Dominique Foxworth in the shirt that you know now as very much a Dominique Foxworth shirt. That is Mina Kimes. Find them on the platforms where they do their work. They're everywhere. You probably, you know where to find them.